Thank you, Shelley. We look forward to the worship tonight at 6 p.m. in this room. Well, I thought I might finish up Romans today, but a couple of weeks ago I went to Brother Cliff and said, I'm on vacation the week before December 6th, and if I'm on vacation the week before vacation 6th, I won't have any vacation because I put a lot of hours into my sermon prep. Would you preach for me today? And he gladly said yes. You know, we have some wonderful preachers here at Lakeview. You heard Brother Greg last week and Brother Kevin back in October and Brother Cliff tonight. I'm always confident that whenever one of our fellow pastors preaches, they'll always faithfully declare the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Brother Cliff, you're up, and we pray for you as you come to preach to us today. And next Sunday, we'll finish Romans chapter, well, we'll finish the book next Sunday.
We do look forward to tonight. I hope all of you will come back and enjoy the concert that Shelley will bring to us. Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. We will be looking at just, primarily verse 35, as we consider this one verse today as our text, as we talk about morning prayer. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The verse is short and simple. It reads, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." I think the verse could stand alone. In one sense, all Scripture is God-breathed, and when we would read any Scripture, there's a reason for it being there. There's a message in it. Some verses obviously have a easier message to see and to read than others, but this is pretty simple. It was one of the first verses that I was given to memorize as a young Christian. A guiding verse, a truth that taught me about the importance of spending time with the Lord, trying to spend that time with the Lord early in the morning. I do think, though, it'd be helpful, though, as most verses, you see a little bit more when you see it in the context. And I'm not going to read the context, but with your Bibles open, I do want to point out this, that this is early in Mark's recordings of the life of Jesus. Now, if you were to look at some of the other Gospels, Matthew, Luke, you would see that this would have fallen a little bit later in the writing, other than chapter 1. So, like in chapter 8 of Matthew, this scenario comes up. Not this verse itself, but the setting. But here, we find it following the calling of the first disciples. We find it specifically following a very busy day after Jesus' baptism, the calling of the disciples. In verse 21, Mark points out that they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching. And during his teaching there in the synagogue, one of the men stood up and said to him, he says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook him violently, and he came out with a shriek. The people were amazed. And this would be much like some of Mark's writings, to the point, concise, but pointing out the miracle power of Jesus. Now, I do think it's interesting just to know, in a day when so many people just really don't know who Jesus is, that a man possessed by a demon in the temple knew exactly who Jesus was. And the reason he was thrown out of the heavens along with all the other host of demons by Jesus. So he knew exactly who he was. He left Capernaum, and it says, as they moved over to Galilee, and in verse 29 we see they left the synagogue. They went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. When they told Jesus about her, they went to her, took her hand, and he helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now notice now, verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick, the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. On the front end, I just want to point out that Jesus had a very, very busy day of ministry. Ministry that Jesus was doing here, especially casting out demons, praying over people, ministering to people. It can be emotionally draining. It can take something out of you. Now, Jesus, again, he stands alone. He's not like myself as a preacher or Brother Al. But at the same time, Jesus being not only fully God, he was fully man. But I just point out to you, he had a very busy day. All night at this home, people were bringing people to him. And if you'll look later, the next day, he left there and he went to another town because he had more preaching, more ministry to do. So in between these two things, we come back to verse 35. And we see these words that are written about Jesus very early in the morning. This is after a long day of ministry. This is after probably spending the night in the home of Simon. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Our sermon today is simply about this. It's making time with God should be a priority for our relationship with God. Very simple. In the truth that we should just glean from this one verse. Jesus thought it was important enough that he get up early in the morning, that he would leave the house, he would leave the people, he would go off to a solitary place, and it says where he prayed. He talked to his Father. It must have been important. And we're going to make some just simple observations from this verse in this. Now, we all know mornings can be a challenging time. Let's just go ahead and acknowledge that. I mean, you have people that handle mornings differently. You have different characteristics of people. You have the chirpy bird people. You know, they wake up and they just get up and they're singing and they're just... You know, I always loved when I was a youth minister and we would go to youth camp. I would love to see the chirpy bird people mingle with the grumpy old men people. You know, matter of fact, I would guess that probably half our marriages are almost like that to some degree. Somebody's an early riser and someone is not so early a riser. But you got your chirpy bird people, they just get up singing. You have your I need coffee folks. You know, they wake up a little sluggish. They need something to give them a pick up and go. You have those people, don't talk to me. You know, I want to be alone a while. We've already mentioned the grumpy old man. The snoozer, you know, the alarm goes off. Boom. He's just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes for 10 times. Then you have the walking dead. They're moving, but you can't tell they're alive yet. So I realize when I just bring up this subject of just a priority time of God, and specifically a morning time that is priority, it's a challenge for some of us. But time is one of those assets that every person on earth has and it's equal, it's the same. We all have 60 minutes in an hour. We all have 24 hours in a day. And we all have 7 days in our week. But the psalmist said that we should, when he prayed to the Lord, he says, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think when we look at the life of Jesus in this context, we'll see that it seems almost, if you just took the verse alone, it could be insignificant. But in its context, I think it's very significant, because it, in the midst of the busyness of Jesus' life, in the many demands on Jesus' life, we see that he stole away some time to be alone with his Father. And so I want us to just glean here four simple truths from this verse. First of all, I want you to see the priority time. The priority of Jesus' time. Jesus knew the priority for him to have time with his Father. Now, most time management gurus would emphasize how important it is to prioritize the things of your life, prioritize the task that is before you, prioritize those things that are most important. And once you sort of prioritize things, you sort of do those priority things in order first. I think because you see that very early in the morning, Jesus got up, that he was prioritizing his time to spend with the Lord. Priority means it was important to him. Very simply, very early in the morning. You know, first things are important in so many ways. You see the importance of first things throughout the Scripture. You see the first day in Genesis, God created. You see the importance of a firstborn. You see the wording of the first fruit, or bringing the first fruit of the tithe to the Lord's house. You see the first command is named, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Matthew 6:33, Jesus taught that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these other things in our life will take care of themselves as well. The prophet Isaiah, when he was speaking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, in chapter 50, in verses 4 and 5, the prophet said these words about Jesus. He says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. This is talking about the Lord. He's talking about the Lord coming to him in the morning, awakening him, speaking to him, instructing him. We see the importance of priority in the psalmist in chapter 5, verse 3, where he says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Again, the psalmist said in chapter 27, verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. Now, I do believe that all of us can prioritize our time with the Lord. We can prioritize turning our hearts toward the Lord. And it may mean, and probably often would mean, spending some time with the Lord early in the morning. But it's not limited to that. It certainly is not limited to that. The morning time with the Lord, though, it does seem fitting because it prepares us for the rest of the day. It's a time when we can get ready for the day. We can seek the Lord. We can gain instruction from the Lord. You know, many things could give us an example. Brother Adam meets with the praise band every Sunday morning early, 8 o'clock, and they rehearse, they warm up, they're getting ready for the day of leading in worship. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if Brother Adam, right after the end of the service, says, "Praise band, y'all stay back here. We've got to get warmed up." Well, it's too late. It's over. And so many times we might wait till the end of the day, in one sense, to turn to the Lord. But really, we needed Him at the first of our day. We needed to find our strength in Him. We needed to find our instruction in Him. We needed to find our help from the Lord. And the best time to do that is to seek Him in the first part of our day. Jesus knew the priority of spending time with His Father. The second truth you see here is that it is a planned time. Jesus got up. He left the house. He went off to a solitary place. Three times, the wording of this verse, these phrases, emphasizes that Jesus planned. He was intentional about getting up. First of all, Jesus got up. Second, He left the house. Third, He went off to a solitary place where He prayed. He got up. Getting up is not always easy. I mean, when I was in college and I was trying to develop this spiritual discipline in my life, getting up was not natural for me at that point. Like a lot of young people, I could sleep with the best of them till noon. Now, my mom would not let me when I was a teenager. She always had a task and chore list for me to do, even though I thought I could do that in the afternoon. No, get up. Later in college, when I started understanding that I needed to prioritize my time and make time for the Lord in the morning, I wanted to get up, but my body wouldn't let me get up. So what do? You set an alarm. But, you know, even before the alarms had snoozes, sometimes they just wouldn't go off or they wouldn't wake you up. My roommate had an alarm, I promise you. It would go off and wake me up, but it never woke him up. But then, even when I had trouble getting up with one alarm, I'd learned that if this is important, I'm going to set a second alarm, and I'm going to put it across the room. Well, the second alarm would make my roommate mad because I wouldn't wake up on the first alarm. But because of our relationship, I learned I needed to get up on the first one and turn the second one off real quick. All I'm saying is, you have to plan to get up if you want to get up. Now, later on in life, I started praying, "Lord, help me just wake up, because I really do see the importance of morning time, and I want to get up." Well, now it seems like God's answered that prayer. Me and Brother Al can testify, we just wake up. Old people wake up. I generally wake up about 4 o'clock every morning. I have to make myself stay in bed till 5 or 5:30. Now, fortunately, I love my morning times. I love getting up alone in the house. I love my time with the Lord now. So it's pretty natural for me to do that. But it's something that the Lord has worked and brought about in my life. But you do have to plan. I want you to see in Jesus' life, He was in a home. He was with people. But He got up, He left this house, and He went off and found a solitary place. He planned His time with the Father. He was intentional. He demonstrates to us the necessity to spend time with the Father. And I would just say to you, why? Why do we need that time? I'm reminded of John chapter 15 and the words of the Apostle John when he wrote about the vine and the branches. And he gave us these words. He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I think that the Lord Jesus, by His own example of getting up and going to be with the Father, was modeling for us what He was experiencing with His Father. That oneness. The oneness of the Son and the Father. But also this sense that Jesus was so connected to the Father. You remember those different places in the Scripture where he says, I don't do anything on my own. I only do what my Father has instructed me. I don't speak on my own. I only speak what my Father has told me. This oneness with the Father, in this sense, you see in the life of Jesus and his connection to his own Father. But it was a planned time. It was a planned time so that he could remain in fellowship with his Father. Jesus planned his time with his Father. The third truth that I would just point out to you, it is a private time. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, he left people, and he went off to a solitary place. Jesus had just spent a very busy day and night ministering to people. He was at the home of Simon and Andrew. He had healed their mother-in-law. People was pressing him all through the night. And who knows how long that went, but finally, maybe he got a little sleep, but he knew there would be more ministry the next day. Matter of fact, look at verse 36. It says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. Now, the disciples are sort of like playing managers for Jesus at this point. You know? All of his miracles and all of his ministry, people are already spreading the news about Jesus. People are bringing the sick, bringing the afflicted to him. He's being pressed on every side, and the disciples decided we're going to manage his ministry. Jesus, there's folks, people, you know, there's always someone out there that has something for you to do. There's always things to do. Life will fill itself up with busy things. But we have to plan to have some private time with the Lord. We have to have alone time with our Father. Sometimes we have to leave the busyness of life. Sometimes we have to leave those around us. And we have to draw away and draw near to the Lord. Two things you see here. We need God time. But also, I believe you also see that God delights in us. Jesus wanted to be with his Father. But I would also point out to you, the Father wanted Jesus to be with him. Matthew 22:37 talks about the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. And certainly this speaks to the fact that we should love God first and foremost. But Zephaniah 3:17 speaks of God's love for us. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with his singing. Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Unless I make the mistake of just conveying a ritual habit, I want to emphasize the point here is that we draw away and we meet with God. So we can worship him. So we can seek him. So we can pour out our soul to him and say, God, these are the hurts. These are the pressing needs of my life. These are the things that I need your help with. But then we can also be in God's presence and let him delight over us and minister to us, instruct us, and teach us. We need time with the Lord. It's a private time. It's a time of prayer, as you'll see. It's a time, I think, that we spend with God in His Word. is private and personal. What the Lord does, He refuels our emotions and our spiritual bank. It's private and personal in the sense that He prepares us for the next day of ministry or the next day and all that life will bring us. It's not the only time Jesus drew away. Before Jesus went to the cross, what did He do? He took His disciples up into the Garden of Gethsemane, but He drew away from them so that He could be with the Father alone before He faced that most crucial day. You see other examples where Jesus would draw to up in the mountain to pray. He prayed all night before He chose His disciples. We see the private time. And then lastly, we just simply see it's a prayer time. He prayed. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Jesus knew that prayer time with His Father was essential. He prioritized this time. He planned this time so He could personally meet with God. Now, this is not necessarily a sermon time to devote to talk about what prayer is, but we know it in its most basic sense. It's meeting with God. It's communing with God. It involves, yes, us talking, being able to talk to the Lord, but also listening and allowing the Lord to speak to us. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, where He says, "Our Father in heaven, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Give us this our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation." We see various forms of this prayer here, our worship, being reminded of the kingdom, the importance of the kingdom, the importance of God's will, not our will, the opportunity for supplication where we can ask God to give us our daily bread or the other daily needs of our life, the time of confession, of being able to come clean so that we can stay close to God. The opportunity to ask God for help, for protection, for deliverance. Prayer could be a lot of these things, but the essence of it is that we draw near to God. And we love the Lord, we worship the Lord, and we allow His love to be manifested and ministered to us. It teaches us we need the Lord. And I would just say, in the midst of Christmas and all the busyness of our life, pressing us on one side and the other, it is always fitting that we make time for the Lord. We make time for the Lord. It can have its challenges. I realize my wife was sure to remind me, sitting at Cliff, give a little grace to the mothers with a lot of kids. It's not my place to give grace. I think God gives that. But she's right. And there are times and seasons. I know that the Lord, it's not like it's a legalistic act. It's an opportunity of grace. And the Lord will give us grace in those pressing times. But for most of us, it's not the issue that we cannot. It's the issue of we will not. And so the Lord calls us. The Lord Jesus gives us this example. In His own life, in the midst of a very busy life, and even though He was the Son of God, He was also the Son of Man. He withdrew from all the people, and He drew unto the Lord. I know I've missed a lot of times with the Lord in my life, and I've experienced the grace of God even in those times. But I know as well, when I have tried to make it a priority in my own life to draw away and be with the Lord, I've experienced, it seems, a much more expression, a greater amount of grace in my life. Because that's when the Lord ministers to me. He prepares me. He refuels me. It's not only my communion with the Lord, but it's that time when the Lord gives me instruction. It's that time when I can refocus. It's when God seems to reorient my life in such a way that my time and my priorities and my emotions, my thoughts are all brought before the Lord, and He helps to set those things straight. Yes, it's a time for me to confess my sin and remember the grace of God, that all my sins have been paid for by Christ at the cross. It's a time when I can pray and say, God, these are the things before me. Help me, Lord, with these things. But rarely have I left that time with the Lord, and I did not think, oh, what a sweet blessing it is that we get to be with the Lord. And so I would just encourage you, as we move into the Christmas season, and it used to be December could be very busy with parties. I don't know what it will look like this year. And maybe by God's providence, with COVID changing our lives as it is, maybe it's an opportunity for us to seize this time and to draw nearer unto the Lord. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Would you pray with me? God in heaven, I pray today, O Lord, that You would use this truth to invite us, to call us with open arms, with an open door for us to come into Your presence. Lord, to seek Your face, to draw near unto You, O Lord our God, to worship You, to give You praise, to thank You for all the blessings of life. But Lord, most of all, just to be with You, to worship You, to bask, Lord, in Your love and grace, in a very personal time that all of us can have. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just speak to our hearts today. Encourage us in these things. In every need of our life, Lord, I pray that You would minister to these that are here today and those that are listening. Lord God, we just pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Adam.